Have you ever taken a green vacation or an eco trip? Do you think about your carbon footprint when you travel? A lot more people are doing this, and we hope to find out what inspires it this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August the 1st. Our discussion is prompted by a recent story in the Wisconsin State Journal, which found ecotourism is catching on in Wisconsin, as it is worldwide. The International Ecotourism Society says ecotourism is growing at 3 times the rate as global tourism in general. We'll talk with a guest who owns one of the top 100 eco destinations in North America. That's right here in Wisconsin. John Ivenko is the owner of In Serendipity, a bed and breakfast, a farm-based ecotourism enterprise outside of Monroe, Wisconsin. And he is co-author of Ecopreneuring, Putting Purpose and the Planet Before Profits. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. So what makes your inn one of the top 100 destinations for ecotourism?
Well, a lot of things, and that's sort of a theme amongst many ecotourism operations. It's not just one thing that is clearly defining that business, that enterprise. It's usually many things, and they're often interconnected. Obviously, we're very much focused on experiences, and most ecotourism businesses are focused on those experiences. How do you allow the folks, the guests, the visitors, or people you're guiding through a rainforest, how do you allow them to experience a sense of place? And what is also equally important, what pulls them into their ability to help continue enhance and restore and preserve that particular part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So in our case, you come here and you're offered a mostly vegetarian or vegetarian meal prepared with ingredients usually harvested about 100 feet from our back door. Very, very strong emphasis on local food, sustainable agriculture, and such. But we're also powered completely by the wind and the sun, and we actually overproduce energy on an annual basis. So we spin that meter backwards more than frontwards at our operation. And then we incorporate all sorts of other aspects of green design, natural building. We even have a straw bale greenhouse over here. So folks are interested in this kind of thing, but they're also looking at how, in terms of how our operations work, looking at a very holistic approach to things and using nature as a model. So instead of focusing on the scarcity, we hear more and more about the energy situation where people are losing, the prices are rising and we're seemingly running out or it's getting a whole lot more expensive. We're focused on the sense of abundance using solar energy mm-hmm. and either wind or solar. And our guests take showers heated by the sun.
Well, what led you to do this?
Well, part of it wasn't really an epiphany or some particular moment in time. It was the understanding and the realization of how things were changing on the planet. And more than a decade and a half ago now, where ecotourism was just beginning to be coined as a term or an expression, but really it's that beginning of that understanding of how travel could be used as a tool for conservation and restoration. And also, it can be a great guide, if you're running a hospitality enterprise, for more socially responsible and ecologically sound business practices. So, and that's really what we cover in at length in Ecopreneuring and Rural Renaissance, is how exactly do we do that? What do we look at with conservation and efficiency and natural building products and, you know, more less toxic cleaners and so forth that we use to clean the toilets and mop up the floors? And part of it, that understanding also arose that we also travel, like so many of the listeners, and we really enjoy traveling. And traveling, we're not against, we realize climate change is pressing up on us and there's other issues, but we see that sense of travel, eco-travel, to be able to help address some of these concerns. And nowadays, there's an increasingly incredible number of ways to address the carbon emissions aspect if you do, in fact, have to get on an airplane or which most folks do, or get in the car. And so we really see that as an incredible opportunity to help preserve areas and also broaden that understanding globally and where you do go farther afield.
Yeah. What do you think attracts people to a place like yours?
As I mentioned earlier, it's really about that experience. When folks come here, they get the sense of perhaps what it used to be like on a very small-scale, diversified farm operation, despite the fact we don't have any animals. At one point, we have had animals. But it's that sense of reconnecting to your food, reconnecting to a sense of local place, and understanding that Our meals themselves come so, I mean, we're fortunate here. We're in just outside Monroe, Wisconsin, so we got an incredible selection of local cheeses from which we can draw from and incorporate into our meals. And this time of year, we have a very seasonal menu, so we incorporate our award-winning Green County feta cheese into our zucchini feta pancakes, which, of course, the zucchini we harvest the morning of. And folks have an interest in this. They're fascinated by the fact that our meter goes the opposite direction mm-hmm. most electric meters go. And they want to say, how did you guys do that? And do we have, I'm not an engineer, and how did we manage to pull this off? And really, so much of things have changed from the standpoint of the technology that just a average person could incorporate this kind of thing into their operations. And again, that's what ecopreneuring goes into from a business standpoint. But as a traveler, they're attracted into the experience knowing that they're traveling and they're not destroying the planet or exploiting people in the process. People are becoming really conscious of and understand that their travel does have impact, but how do they do it in a way that's actually a positive impact, not necessarily just a negative one? And that growth is really powered by that. And it's the same sense of growth that we're seeing in the green building movement, which is the same growth we're seeing in the sustainable agriculture food movement, with the growth of organic foods. They're all experiencing this double-digit growth, why more conventional approaches to things are either flat or down. Mm-hmm. So it's that same group of people that are doing all these different things. They're eating organic, but they're also doing an ecotourism-related birding event, either globally or more locally. And that sense of price and energy is causing some folks to relocalize, and we're sitting here at the epicenter in the Midwest of the green travel movement in the United States right now.
We will check our weather forecast, and then we will welcome your thoughts, your questions about ecotourism. Wondering if you have ever taken a green vacation or an eco trip. The International Ecotourism Society says ecotourism is growing at 3 times the rate as global tourism in general, and we are wondering why this hour. We wonder if you have taken or plan to take an ecotourism trip. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, August the 1st. Coming up, it's At Issue with Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6. Understanding how we think, work, and communicate involves knowing our perceptual thinking patterns. That's the topic during At Issue with Ben Marins after 5 this afternoon. Right now, we are talking about ecotourism. It's becoming more popular as more industries are making green travel a viable option. We're talking about how to make your next vacation a green vacation with John Ivankoe, who is co-author of Ecopreneuring, Putting Purpose and the Planet Before Profits. He is also the owner of In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, a farm-based ecotourism enterprise outside of Monroe, Wisconsin. We welcome your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Also, welcome your experiences. Have you taken a green vacation or experienced ecotourism in any way? Lynn in Menominee Falls joins us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I am calling just to say I'm about to go on vacation and leave a big old carbon footprint, and I'm sorry, but the Lake Express to go across to Michigan and stay at a state park. I love what this guy is doing. I so appreciate that he's using the wind and the sun. That's wonderful. And I just want to say my comment is, at least I'm not going on a cruise and dumping my sewage into the ocean. That's my comment.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry for leaving the carbon footprint that I am.
No one's trying to make anyone feel guilty, are we, John?
Well, actually, and this is the exciting part of all mm-hmm. of this. As folks globally and nationally here, and planetarily wise, we are beginning to understand that, hey, we have this impact on climate change, global warming, and there is an incredible number of nonprofit organizations and for-profit companies that are coming out to try to either put in wind generators or put in biogas, methane capturing facilities on farms, or plant trees all over the place to help find a viable way of offsetting the emissions that we would have contributed by traveling. And so, you know, from the CarbonFund.org Foundation to Native Energy, we actually participate in several. One that we like and have liked and used for some time now is Trees for the Future. And they have an opportunity to, they plant trees in developing parts of the world that are perhaps even impacted by the effects of climate change or deforestation or other less appropriate land use practices by working with local communities to replant trees and create little micro business enterprises in these communities to continue the tree planting efforts, and by purchasing a Trees for Travel certificate, which is what we do for all of our B&B guests staying at in Serendipity, we're helping contribute to that organization's outreach efforts in those communities. So some are very easy to do. You just go to the website, you calculate roughly the number of the miles or distance that you're traveling in air or by water or by car, and you type, even some of them even have, you can type it in the type of car you have, and then they'll calculate out about what you're contributing or adding to your emissions, carbon dioxide emissions, and then you can just right there on the website put in your credit card and offset those emissions, and then support that organization, whether it's for-profit or non-profit, to continue their conservation work. So there used to be a time where, gosh, you know, this was just happening. Now there's so many, and there's now more than 50 organizations that are now, you know, focused on this. And this is that emerging green economy that so many folks are talking about, these whole new industries that are coming about to address these climate change and climate issues. And this is the exciting part, is you can still travel and travel with a relatively clean conscience, and you're also helping this conservation work in a different sort of way. Now, you do have to oftentimes make a little initial effort to go out and find Native Energy or CarbonFund.org or some of these places, but it's so simple. We just, on an annual basis, settle up. We keep track of where we go, and whatever we couldn't overproduce an energy ourselves, whatever that amount is, we just go on and click through and support the organizations that are doing great work. So we're all about travel is a way of understanding and experiencing other places, other cultures, and it is so important. I mean, there's whole economies around the world right now that have become very dependent upon sustainable travel into their countries, like Nepal, for example. I mean, the Annapurna Conservation Area Project was created to, you know, continue the reality that folks want to experience the beautiful mountain ranges and the culture and the place, a sense of place there. And yet, they felt like people were coming in and they were deforesting to provide hot showers. So they had to come in and you know, address these issues and create a mechanism through fees and such to support the community development and the sustainability so that folks traveling can also experience it. Yeah. So it really is growing at an incredible pace globally. And it's an important piece because, you know, if all of a sudden folks stop going to Nepal or Belize or farther afield, these communities would end up having even a greater time, and there'd be a much better position for oil interests or logging interests to all of a sudden encroach on what was or potentially is a conservation area. So if we take that all away, we're also potentially encouraging other types of more extractive industries to take hold on areas, just because folks, you know, need to put a food on the table, and ecotourism can be that a real viable option for them.
Yeah. Lynn, I hope you have a wonderful vacation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling. Are you going to go see those beautiful dunes on the Michigan side?
I've been on the Michigan side, but I'm going to the Thumb of the Michigan. Michigan Thumb is up there at Saginaw.
I got it. All right. Well, have a great time. I'm just wondering, though, too, in terms of people who want to experience nature and be in nature, is that considered ecotourism, John, or are we loving nature to death when we do that?
Well, the idea of just if you're going to a state park, for example, that wouldn't necessarily be called ecotourism, although more and more state parks are adopting ecotourism principles and practices beyond the sort of usually state-mandated recycling program or, you know, leave no trace sort of ethics.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting more involved with looking at waste treatment facilities where they're creating whole, you know, innovative ways of dealing with waste that's produced by, you know, campgrounds, which is a rather significant amount if you look at the visitation, because that's one of the trends right now, is the economy is on a little more challenging ground for some folks, is they're deciding to go more closer to home and go camping and do some more things along those lines to celebrate experiences with family and such without, you know, running up an incredible bill. And so part of it is you know, these kind of places adopting, you know, other principles and incorporating those into the businesses. So it really is, you're seeing this kind of sense of growth, but adopting practices that address everything from communication, energy, water use, water conservation, green purchasing, you know, all those cups passed out, you know, next to the water station somewhere, and all of a sudden they went from just plain old non-recyclable, just paper cups to, you know, post-consumer, 100% post-consumer waste recycled paper. And a great example is the Midwest Renewable Energy Association, who just hosted, you know, over 22,000 people in Custer, Wisconsin this summer. And they have an incredible waste management system set up at that huge event, which is Travel Green Wisconsin, by the way, and certified. And they just have figured out to address all these different aspects of how they conduct this big, huge energy fair, and really have cut down and really minimized and addressed that waste issue associated with it, right down to composting, you know, the leftovers. And that's a big thing. You go to a lot of places, even state parks, and where's the compost bin? They have the recycled bin and the regular trash bin, but where's the compost bin? I mean, there's a lot of leftover food and coleslaw that goes somewhere, and it doesn't have to go into a landfill if they could create a way of effectively dealing with that kind of material. And so that's kind of the next evolution you're going to see with ecotourism enterprises. And it's going to be state parks that their visitor center or their welcome center is not powered by coal fire, you know, grid energy. It's going to be powered by a photovoltaic system that's on showcase at the campground, saying, hey, and here, and you can watch the meter go backwards. Here's a little display. And you think it's crazy, but you go to IKEA, a big, huge Swedish company in Chicago, and IKEA has a display right in the lobby of the photovoltaic system they have on their roof. They're trying, it's that evolution of businesses to be, you know, more mindful of their impacts and still turn a buck, but turn it in a way that doesn't exploit the planet or exploit people.
We have just a couple of minutes before a news break, but I wanted you to explain a little further why you said the Midwest and Wisconsin are the epicenter of this green travel movement.
Well, it's very exciting to be here. And Wisconsin, in so many ways, is so innovative and so progressive and ahead of the curve. I mean, we obviously have the largest collection of organic farms in the country right here in the state. And the whole sense of travel ties into it, because they're all, I mean, agriculture, restaurants, events, attractions, and lodging are all different aspects that are impacted by this very large industry called tourism. And the state of Wisconsin several years ago launched the Travel Green Wisconsin program to create a state-managed program where you go through a certification process, but also to help more businesses become greener. So it's both a certification means by which the travelers, eco-travelers, can evaluate businesses and see how green they are and the kinds of initiatives they have underway in their enterprise, but also it's sent to help businesses themselves become greener and look at different aspects like waste management or their transportation footprint or how they landscape around their buildings and help educate them in that process to continue to kind of up themselves.
Let me jump in here, and we will talk more about Travel Green Wisconsin after we check the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, August the 1st. And we are wondering if you have ever taken a green vacation or an eco trip. Do you think about your carbon footprint when you travel? We're talking about ecotourism this hour and how it's catching on in Wisconsin and around the world. There are many tourists coming here to the state to experience a green vacation, and there are many Wisconsin travelers looking for more in their trip, more than just a sunny beach when they travel outside of the state. We welcome your experiences or your questions with green travel or ecotourism. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We're talking with a Wisconsin ecotourism expert this hour who runs a B&B near Monroe, Wisconsin, which has been recognized as one of the top 10 eco destinations in North America. John Ivankoe is the owner of Inn Serendipity Bed and Breakfast, a farm-based ecotourism enterprise outside of Monroe, Wisconsin. And he is the co-author of the book Ecopreneuring, Putting Purpose and the Planet Before Profits. And John, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the ideas in your book. There are more and more people like you that care more about purpose and the planet more than profits?
There are, and it's a part of this broader movement of our understanding and folks taking responsibility for how we interact with the world around us. And related to travel, it's the business of sustaining the earth through travel, both by how you run your operations, but also attracting and providing the kind of experiences to the guests coming to your attraction or your lodging or your restaurant, providing the kind of experiences that they, in essence, help you underwrite the conservation restoration work that you're doing.
Yeah. Does it cost more to stay at an ecotourism B&B?
Usually it does, from the standpoint of understanding, and again, the travelers that participate, the eco-travelers, understand that the premium that they're oftentimes paying are going to improve the soil quality or improve the air quality, address energy issues that they're as concerned about, or climate change issues that they're as concerned about as the attraction or destination themselves. So there is a sense of premium associated with it, but usually not. I mean, our B&B, in the Greene County area, is not ridiculously overpriced, and we tend to feed people pretty well when they get here. Beyond the breakfast-only kind of category, we provide all sorts of complimentary snacks and so forth from the gardens. But it's just looking at things and managing things in such a way for the guest that they usually get so much more of a richer experience when they go there. So, it's not just a head on a bed and send the guests on their way out to the countryside. I mean, we give tours of our operations, do all sorts of interpretation. Usually the sense of experience is so much richer. So it's not just a dollar amount for a bed. Mm-hmm. It goes way beyond that for a lot of ecotourism attractions and places.
Robert in Belleville is with us. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Morning. Have you gone on an ecotourism trip?
Yes, we did last summer. We live in Belleville, which is in southern Dane County, actually right on the border of Dane and Greene County. And we went to this great little bed and breakfast in Madison called the Arbor House.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was really kind of a good idea because, first of all, we weren't traveling really anywhere. So it reduced our carbon footprint. It's a very eco-friendly bed and breakfast. We were right by the Arboretum. So we did some kayaking, and it was just a really great time. It was still a nice getaway.
Are you aware, Robert, if the Arbor House employs things like renewable energy and other eco-friendly practices?
Yes, mm-hmm. They absolutely do. Even their bedding is organic cotton. Everything is recycled or somehow eco-friendly.
Mm-hmm. And that's a draw for many people, right, John?
It is. In fact, the Arbor House goes a step further. Again, back to, you pay a little bit more. I mean, there are urban B&B experience anyway, but you're paying a little bit more, but you have access to free bicycles. You have canoe passes that go out in the lake. They don't charge extra for this stuff. It's a part of just the spirit of what the business is all about. And that's what we write about in Ecopreneuring. It's really about incorporating ecology and community and social responsibility as the basic DNA. It's not just about turning a buck. It's about incorporating all these different aspects into the enterprise and providing free bikes for guests to use to commute around in the city versus them having to get back in their car. That's all about it. It's all mm-hmm. about that. And that's the exciting part. We're toying right now with some way of having folks be able to get on the new Badger Stay Baked bike trail, bike down to us, and then with a biodiesel-powered vehicle or electric vehicle, be able to pick up the guests and their bikes and shuttle them the 5 miles to our B&B, because the trail doesn't go right to our doorstep here.
Well, there's your next project.
It is.
That sounds great. I stayed at a B&B in Bayfield that is, I believe, a part of the Green Travel Program, and it was. It was lovely, and you feel better when you're staying at a place like that, not only some of the things you do, but like even earth-friendly products, you know, like for soaps and things like that that you might use while you're staying there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. In Pinehurst, I believe that perhaps is the place
that's
you stayed
it.
At.
Mm-hmm.
They've incorporated a whole second addition to their property. They have the main house, and then they added a second sort of country estate sort of home that guests can stay in. But that one's state-of-the-art, using all sorts of solar thermal technology with in-floor radiant heat, and they've really incorporated the state-of-the-art green technologies for energy efficiency and conservation into their building themselves, in addition to all the natural building products and materials. So it's it's an amazing experience, and yet the house looks like it always belonged on that property. So they've been really mindful culturally of incorporating and designing these buildings, and that's a big part, too, of ecotourism, is looking at that social and community interaction of the particular attraction or the lodging, and that relationship, and their design. They were very, very careful. They spent a lot of money making sure that their second little guest house facility would be, you know, mesh in within their community and their property itself.
And you can't beat the local Bayfield berries at breakfast time, too.
No, you sure can't.
David in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I think one of the nicest environmental tours you can do in Wisconsin is get on board the schooner Dennis Sullivan out of Milwaukee.
Oh, that is a great... I've done that once. That was wonderful, yeah.
Well, I've done it many, many times. Most recently, I was on a run from Montreal to Halifax, been out in the Bahamas on it. We'll be doing a run from Milwaukee to Door County and back in August. And that you really are out there in the environment of Lake Michigan, right on the boat. And part of my job on the boat is to teach people about the environment of Lake Michigan. So it's a wonderful experience. And you can do, if you want a short trip, they have 3-hour sails every evening out of Milwaukee during the summer.
Yeah, so you're one of the crew members.
I'm a volunteer crew member.
Yeah,
an educator.
And so it's a sailboat too, right?
I mean, the three-masted. Mm-hmm. It's the world's only three-masted Great Lakes wooden schooner that's above water.
Yeah, and that's part of ecotourism, John. Is that there is that educational component too, and talking about the fragile Great Lakes and trying to protect the Great Lakes is that a part of ecotourism too?
It's a fundamental basis of it, and that's the difference. It's not just about giving someone a pair of binoculars and some rainforest in Belize and say, okay, go to it. It's about guiding interpretation of the experiences around you or in other ways, and there's this whole growth of the service aspect of travel. It's giving something back. It's not just about taking something from, taking the experience of taking the photographs and maybe taking a souvenir or two and calling it even. It's really transforming that whole experience into contributing, giving back, participating in, learning from. All of those different aspects are really the basis of an ecotourism experience and an attraction or a lodging entity or even a restaurant is all about providing and creating experiences for the visitors to allow them to have that. And so that's why getting into the definitions, the academics will continue to debate and argue and write dissertations on this for years to come because it's so fluid and it's so hard to it's very hard to define because it's so variable based upon where you are. And so many of the enterprises that are doing this really see that not as a downside to not being able to define it, but take it like, how are they going to define it? How are they going to push the envelope? I mean, the fact that you have this world's only wooden schooner, it's a different cultural way of defining that experience and interpreting it and helping people understand what they're seeing. Because when people begin to understand issues is when they start really taking hold and changing how they act and behave. And that became very clear when I did some of my travels to places like Indonesia, where big coffee-growing regions. I mean, we exclusively drink fair trade, shade-grown organic coffee now because I understand the difference between plantation coffee, I've seen it, and I've seen the destruction it's done, and shade-grown coffee where it's grown under the rainforest canopy, and why communities that are coming together and forming cooperatives to provide it, how those communities interact and how they help to restore and sustain that community over the long term. So you know, it directly affects what we serve here now at the Bed and Breakfast, and wherever we travel, it's a big variable for us. And it's exciting because the industry's changing too. Even big companies, larger chain hotels are beginning, instead of your just random packaged coffee, they're actually using Rainforest Alliance certified shade-grown coffee in those little packets in their coffee in your room.
I have to check the weather, and then we'll be back talking more about green travel, ecotourism. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, August the 1st. There has been another in a string of paper mill closings, and we will wonder what these shutdowns mean for the state of Wisconsin and whether we can replace the jobs that have been lost. Coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about ecotourism. According to recent news reports, ecotourism is catching on in Wisconsin and around the world. It's growing three times faster than the global tourism industry as a whole. We're wondering why and wondering what inspires this and whether you have been inspired yet to take an eco trip of any sort, or if you're planning one, or if you have questions about it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ecotourism is not only travel that tries to help the environment or conserve the environment, but also travel that is meant to improve the lives and welfare of local people around the world, where travelers might also do some sort of volunteer service at their destination. And, John, we heard our caller just before weather time, who is a volunteer on these sailing tours on Lake Michigan. That's a part of this, too. It's that not only go to a country to see the sights, but to actually take part in whatever, building a medical clinic or something.
Yeah, the service types of trips can be ecotourist, and in many cases they are. I've done an Earthwatch expedition to France several years ago, and you know, as a part of an Earthwatch expedition, you actually are becoming a part of the research, usually, or some sort of cultural preservation type activity, and your participation fee actually goes to offset the cost of some of the research, but you're directly engaged in that particular activity. And at that time, which was about a decade and a half ago now, but I was actually beginning to look at baseline data for climate change, of all things. They were trying to collect samples from around the world, and I was a part of that initial research by some principal investigators. But there's Elder Hostel does some fantastic service trips. We are helping put back together some buildings that might have been devastated by a flood or in other ways community, some sort of community issue. So really it's pretty exciting to see this. And it's, again, using your travel as a means of solving a problem or helping make things better, and at the same time providing extremely rich experiences with the people in that particular country, or in the case here in Wisconsin, just really great experiences with very interesting people, rather than being kind of insulated off from it from a windshield experience behind a car in a car. So it's taking folks behind, and that richness is what's really one of the reasons why that this industry is really taking off, or this type of travel is taking off.
Robert in Hillsboro is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'd like to share an educational opportunity that falls right in line with today's topic. And it's we have just created the Driftless Folk School out in Vernon County, Wisconsin. And we offer a lot of classes that revolve around organic agriculture and different alternative energies and green building. And for instance, this Saturday, tomorrow, we have a class that's titled Life Off the Grid. And next Saturday, we'll have a class that is in horse-drawn agriculture. So it's a great opportunity for individuals or families to take a class and get some learning.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a website?
Yeah, it's driftlessfolkschool.org.
All right. What about that, John?
Well, yeah, it's mm-hmm. a fantastic interpretation, and that the creativity and innovation within this whole field is really exciting to see. But it's their creative interpretation of something to reach in and pull in new folks that might not even be going to that particular part of the country, and pulling them in with these really fascinating, unique sort of experiences that folks may have always thought about or wondered about, and especially today's rising energy, who wouldn't want to be off the grid and powering your own home or business with renewable energy. And forget the rising utility prices, because they don't impact you anymore. So it's that kind of unique experience. And that really is, again, the ecotourism idea. It's a travel that sustains, enhances, and restores the diverse ecological systems with it looks at preserving economic and social well-being, tying in local community, which obviously this does. And finally, it's that greater understanding of a part of the traveler for nature, culture, and the community visited. So I'm sure if I were to go to their session this tomorrow, it would address all of those things in very, very detailed and meaningful ways. And that meaningfulness is what folks walk away oftentimes from their travel experiences. The time, there's still people sitting around on the beach for a week, but more and more folks want to diversify mm-hmm. their travel experiences. And so they might sit around on a beach for a couple of days at a state park, but then they're going to go out and do something, like what the Driftless Folk School is trying to do, is incorporating an experience for the whole family or develop a new skill as a part of what they're doing, in the context, again, of trying to do it without having a negative impact on things.
Yeah. Lisa in Madison is with us now. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Joy. I'm calling just to say that aside from the fact that these are eco-focused, it's a wonderful opportunity for parents to include their children and involve them in a sort of community outreach or community-oriented experience. Because, as I learn as an adult, I also want my children to learn, and not just to be consumers, but to be community responsible and ecologically responsible. So it's a wonderful opportunity for families to get involved and to kind of grow and morph into the next generation's responsibility to the earth.
Yeah, probably kids would learn a whole lot more on an eco trip than at the water park, John.
Yeah, and in fact, in ecopreneuring, we don't even call anyone a consumer. We've completely dumped that from our language. We call them conserving customers or conservers, but we do not call our guests consumers. We've kind of, over the last several decades, and we write about it a little bit in ecopreneuring, we've let ourselves kind of get falling into this trap of everything's all about consumption, and it doesn't have to be. By guests staying here, they're helping us underwrite our wind generator, which is producing renewable energy. It helps us do things in the gardens organically and improving the soil health. It helps us look at how we deal with our waste stream, and some of our projects take a whole lot more time to do because we're doing them in a slightly different way than just hire a contractor and get it done, because we're actually collecting waste material here mm-hmm. and then eventually using it into a project on site for our business. So it's that whole restoration reuse economy that is also built. So yeah, it's really exciting to see this, but we're one of probably very few B&Bs that embraces and welcomes children, because that is such an important part of the experience we're trying to provide, and the many families' interest of understanding what local food and seasonal cuisine really means, in addition to some of the other things we have going on here. And, of course, our 6.5-year-old son doesn't mind it either. He leads the charge for music and entertainment around the campfire. So it's very much a big part of what we tried to create, and we have numerous families now coming through here.
Very nice. Do you? I see that one of your books is called Edible Earth. Do you teach people how to cook and organic garden and that sort of thing if we're staying at your place?
We don't specifically do things that explicitly because of the health and human services requirements mm-hmm. of having a commercial kitchen and all of that. So that could be some evolution down the line of our business. We do more general workshops on sustainable living and so forth, or ecopreneuring, but getting into the specific details of preparing a zucchini feta pancake in the morning, we really can't do in the context of what we can, what we're allowed to do in our kitchen here.
You can tell us,
but
though.
It's very much a part of the overall experiences here, and we do share some of our canning and preserving that we do. We share how we approach things. And the Edible Earth Cookbook is really a reflection of all those different ideas. It's a very, very simple vegetarian cookbook, rather than sometimes the more complex, multiple-step, five-hour preparation vegetarian cookbooks that are fantastic if you have the whole afternoon to work on a particular recipe. We tried to do this, incorporating all of the things that we've discovered over the last 12 years at the Bed and Breakfast to incorporate, fresh, seasonal, local, organic, sustainable, all of that into a real simple vegetarian cookbook, which, of course, is another theme of eating lower on the food chain to help also reduce or minimize your impact. So we also, look at that as a part of what we do.
Well, you've inspired me, John. Thanks very much. We're out of time. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
John Ivanko. Ivanko is the owner of In Serendipity, a bed and breakfast farm-based ecotourism enterprise outside of Monroe, Wisconsin. He is co-author of Ecopreneuring, Putting Purpose and the Planet Before Profits. Previous books include Rural Renaissance and Edible Earth. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. If you would like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. We also archive our talk shows on our website, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.